Three, two, and...
Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. We have something in common. Good luck to you. Seacrest out.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Hey, welcome back to the Church Acts Podcast. I'm Terry Molinaro, and we are running through a few episodes in what I guess you can call like a series, maybe, maybe not. So, Strength to the Church. I've seen things that are causing people to fall away. Maybe even let me put it like this. So, fall short of what God has for them. Things that are literally disempowering the church. And that's what I want to talk about over the next little while. Last time we spoke about words. So the importance of our words, how literally we are filling the church with the doctrine of the enemy when we disempower the church or even ourselves. You know, when we speak things over our lives that are not life-giving, but rather life-stealing or life-taking. And if you haven't already, go back and listen to that one because it has the power to honestly change your life. And I think that so many times when we hear things like that, oh, this will change your life. It's like, oh, this is hyperbole. This is just like hype conversation. But it's so true. If you really grab a hold of the power of your words and how if you speak death over situations, that's usually what you're going to experience. Or if you speak life and if you speak God's will into situations, that is going to, you know, be the thing that you're going to experience. I think that really has the power to change a lot. Like not in a weird, oh, speak goodness into your life and you'll become rich, but like in a powerful way of hello. If you speak negativity, you're going to give certain forces permission to enter your life. So we got really practical on that one with some very real world examples that kind of, you know, blew my mind a bit. You know why I'm passionate about this topic of strength to the church and why I'm talking about it and have been talking about it? Well, it hits me personally. See, when we think of people falling away, we never really think about ourselves. Guaranteed, David in the Bible, King David, never thought of himself as the one who would have an affair and then proceed to kill like that person's husband. Solomon never thought of himself as the one who was so foolish as to disobey one of the original laws set out for kings by God, marry hundreds of women who eventually turned his heart away from God. I'm sure in the beginning, he never thought to himself, okay, like I honor the Lord, but I think that one day I'm going to start worshiping demons, essentially. Judas, I'm sure, never walked with Jesus, you know, abandoning all that he ever really had in life to one day just betray the Son of God and kill himself as a result and end up in hell. Like when he started off, I'm pretty sure that was not in his mind. Listen, all throughout the Bible in history, and even in our lives, there are stories of good-meaning people who tried hard, who did what they thought they should be doing, who had good intentions, who actually maybe even walked at one point in time in the will of God, but then ended up not finishing well and ended up far actually from the intended by God original destination. In my life, personally, I can really speak to this. I never saw myself as someone who was like a quitter. Always assume the position of someone who was relentless, right? Who would be able to do anything. But I'm telling you, friends, when push comes to shove, and when you are in the trenches, so to speak, I don't care who you are or what title you might have, the tolerance maybe you've built up or the self-discipline that you might think you have or who you think you are, if we are not careful, if we're not making sure that we are in close communication, close proximity to God, these moments can definitely take you out. How many times even in your own life did you feel like God maybe was leading you in a certain direction to a specific place? It could be a calling or a relationship or a job position, but then some time went by and you suddenly found yourself in a position where you're just like totally drained, potentially even burnt out. See, it can happen to any one of us, especially if we're not paying attention. And that is why we need strength to the church. We need real strength, not this self-help nonsense. You know, we need courage and boldness that comes from God himself. And don't get me wrong, I know that I'm sounding like I'm contradicting myself, but like self-help and these things and these tips, like these things are good and practical, but usually they don't really deal with the root of things, like the spiritual. So that's what we're going after today. So before we move on, the other night on my radio show, I had this person who called me up he told me about some hard times that his family has come under. Actually, full transparency, he was telling me that he was really struggling because here we are living, where I live in this amazing country of Canada, and yet his elderly mother that was in the hospital because of COVID rules and restrictions, he couldn't even go visit his mom. And he's like, what in the world? Like, this woman like survived the Holocaust, and, you know, she saw along with her mother people just being murdered by, you know, the Nazis. And here she is in her old age, and he can't even like visit her in the hospital. And he's like, what type of a world am I living in? So he's just going on through all these different stories in his life. And he went on to tell me even more and more and more. And suddenly it turned into almost like this mini sermon, to be honest. He spoke about how, you know what, times are getting darker, how he can almost see it in people's eyes, the lost hope, the passion. And then he said, you know what, I pray that I will have the strength one day when I am tested to be able to stand for God. And if, you know, and I'm here thinking, stand for God when your life is potentially on the line. We throw in the towel when the church doesn't, you know, instill social distancing like we think that they should. And I'm talking about like actual churches, and we start freaking out then. Like, how in the world are we supposed to stand when there's actually like a life-threatening situation? See, if we're going to stand the test of time, stand tests in general, if we're not going to just be a people who are full of hype, but actually have substance, a people that the enemy literally dreads awaking to their potential, we need to be plugged into the source, and we need to have a strong relationship. Strength to the church, today's episode, the relationship. What is something that you would dream to have? Is there one thing right now, one material thing? It could be like a house, it could be like a car, it could be a certain amount in your bank account that you got to see whenever you got one of those like paper slips from the banking machine. If I could give that to you right now, would you take it? No strings attached, you could just have it right here, right now. Oh wait, well, I guess there's a catch. So you could have it, but it would cost you one thing. It would cost you your life. That's it. Think about it though. You can have that thing that you want so, so bad, but all it would cost you is your life. Would you still want it? Obviously, the answer is no, okay? We're not going to trade our life for something that is material, because let's even face it logically, we wouldn't be able to enjoy its benefits. But not only that, here's the thing that a lot of us do automatically in our minds. We never would intentionally trade something so valuable for something of lesser value. In this case, our lives for finances, or our lives for a house or whatever. However, there are people in the Bible, the book that God has left us as an instruction manual, who did just this. The first one I want to talk about today is Moses, the man who was Pharaoh's daughter. The man had the best part of, you know, everything. Like, he had all the material possessions he could ever want, endless amounts of whatever would bring him, supposed in quotation marks, your pleasure. But Moses, deep down inside, knew that was not what he really wanted. There was an emptiness that only a relationship with God could fill. So the story goes on that he finds God and he builds the most incredible relationship. He literally is considered and spoken about as the friend of God. One day, a long time in the future, God tells Moses that he is going to send an angel before the people of Israel after they've been released from slavery and they're in the wilderness. So including Moses into the promised land, but says, hey, I will not go with you. And Moses, do you know what he says? He says, no. Don't lead us up out of this place if you're not going to go with us. In other words, God, unless you come with me, I'd rather stay here in this desert. Now, this isn't metaphorical like we use the word desert today. Like, it is a legit desert. So promised land, desert. Moses goes, I found what I was looking for all those years. God, I don't care if I eat the same thing. I don't care if I never see another lush forest or a bunch of livestock, massive house, or any of the pleasure of Egypt ever again. These things are all nothing in the presence of you. See, Moses was a man of right perspective. Because of that relationship, he was able to stand when many fell away when they experienced hard times. And let's talk about another man in the Bible from a different perspective. Now, this man didn't have endless amounts of wealth, but the thing that he valued less than a relationship with God arguably was worth a lot more than any material possession, and that was his own life. See, this man, Daniel, in Daniel's time, and it's an incredible story that you should read, there were people who were jealous of him. because of his wisdom and the understanding that he had in all these different situations, because God had blessed him with great wisdom and understanding. And the only way they could think to try and diminish Daniel was to get him killed. So problem, he was a righteous man who was not able to be accused of any wrongdoing. So they went after the one thing that they knew he would never give up, that relationship with God in prayer. The story goes that they tricked the king, and the king made a decree that anyone who did not pray to the king himself would be killed. Now, what do you think Daniel did in that situation? Daniel did what of course he would do. He opened his window toward Jerusalem, the Bible says, and he prayed multiple times a day. This is publicly. This is not hidden in his house, because Daniel, just like Moses, had his eyes fixed on things above, a different plane. He had his eyes fixed on God. He was so close to God and developed the relationship that suddenly what was happening with the government in that day, things that would even lead to his death, were disregarded in the presence of God that he so passionately sought after. And I think that we shouldn't just glaze over that. So what was happening with the government in that day, we cannot relate to this. I know that there are a lot of situations going on that are fueling a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. But as far as I'm aware, the government, at least where I am, has not said, hey, listen, you either worship me or you're dead. Last time I checked, he wasn't sentencing, or people were not sentencing, people who prayed to God, you know, to be eaten by lions. That is a terrible death, by the way. I think that sometimes because of the Bible, like we know the story, that we don't actually think about that, but that is just absolutely a terrible death. This has not happened. And yet we have lost such a foundation, our firm footing. We're running around like chickens with our head cuts off, just like freaking out all the time. And like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end. Listen, the world is not coming to an end. Maybe our interpretation of what's going on is just wrong. Because maybe we're on a plane like the world is, looking around just with our natural eyes, seeing what we can control, what we can't control, then our interpretation of things. When maybe, I'm sure there's been times in life where there are situations going on that the church as a whole has been freaking out about. And if we actually sought God, God would be like, listen, this is actually my will. Like, what a thought that is, you know? Anyway, we move forward. So if we're going to bring strength to the church, to our families, to our lives, we need to be developing that relationship with God. See, you and I can spend countless hours researching health tips, mental health tips. We can spend countless hours working and building businesses and empires here on earth. But every time we're going to come to the same conclusion, without God, without the relationship, it is not going to be worth it. We're always going to have that, pardon me, that emptiness. We can start as much as we want, pardon me, but it will all come to nothing without him. See, do you want to be effective in this lifetime that you've been given, or do you want to go with the flow around you? I'll tell you, the flow of this world is almost without a doubt going to be easier, because when you, in the short term, because when you go with the flow, there is not resistance. But like with any river, if you're going to make traction, if you're going to make any progress, you're going to have to press. When you press against the natural flow of something, there is going to be resistance and opposing forces, right? But if you do not quit, you will ultimately accomplish all that God has for you. How do we do that, though? There's the question. How do we stand the test of time? I'm not talking about 2 months down the road. I'm talking about 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, increased persecution, more intensity. How do we stand the test of time then? How do we not give our attention to the voices that would come and discourage us, or the voices that would try and fill us with doubt and depression? How do we make it to the end of our rope with everything pressing down on us and still stand up with faith and boldness and passion? How do we get to the point where maybe every single thing that would be considered good in our eyes, just like Moses, would be available to us, but we say, no, I choose God? Or like Daniel, when they're like, listen, you need to stop praying to God. You need to stop standing on truth, or you're going to be killed, simply put like that. And he goes, no, I choose God. How do we get to that point? The answer is actually simple today, which is why this isn't going to be such a long episode. So we keep our eyes fixed on the truth. We partner with and we build a relationship with the God of the universe who has called you out. He will give you the wisdom that you need. He will give you guidance. He has already sent his Holy Spirit and his Son, who has already made a way by stripping the enemy of all his power and giving you power instead to accomplish everything that he has tasked you with. So my friends, stand strong. Not with your head all hunched over, hanging low in discouragement. Oh, woe is me. Remember, you are part of the body of Christ. You are the church. The power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. You have the Holy Spirit ready and able to give you all the help that you need. And God, who created it all, has a relationship waiting for those who fear him. So how do we bring strength back to the church? Well, we forget about all this hype, all the lights, all the drama that's going on here on earth, all the stupid denominational crap that I'm so sick and tired of, Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist. Listen, who gives a crap? This is called the church. Hello. These things are just been used to separate us and divide us. Hello. We forget about what culture is trying to convince us of, and we reintroduce the church to their God. When we draw near to God with humility, and as a result, he draws near to us, our lives will change. Our perspective will change. The persistence will go up. We will be relentless, and strength like you have never seen will hit your life, and we will bring strength back to the church.